Greetings from sunny Sarasota, Florida. Almost said Saratoga. That would be New York. It's the Duke Meister. Welcome to podcast number 25. I call it Connecting the Dots, a prophetic news update. Lots of things are happening in the news, and I must confess to you, I wrote about three quarters of my podcast text sitting next to a beautiful swimming pool in late February 2021 on the final few weeks of our getaway here to sunny Florida. Enjoyed every minute of it, ready to get back in the saddle. Well, we know the end from the beginning if we study the prophecies. We know Jesus told us that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know history needs not be a mystery. We know Jesus told us that he tells us these things before they happen. Why? So that when we see them happen, we'll know what is happening. There's a reason God put 10,365 prophecies in the Bible. Now, many of the prophecies were short-term and for the purpose of authentication of the prophet of God, to prove that he really was God and not a fake. For example, when Moses confronted the rebellion of Korah, God spoke through Moses to Korah and his 250 wayward princes among the people. And he did it before the nation. All the nation of Israel was hearing him. Moses said, if any of you, followers of Korah, if any of you die a natural death, you will know that I, Moses, am a false prophet. But if the ground opens up and swallows Korah and his team and takes them into the abyss, then you'll know that Moses is the true prophet. Guess what? Only minutes later, that very short-term prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. The ground opened up and swallowed up Korah and his team. No one was left wondering. Moses was proven by fulfilled short-term prophecy to be the true servant of the living God, God's voice to the people. And so it was set forth through the prophets yet to come to authenticate their message by fulfilled short-term prophecies and often with signs, miracles, and wonders. That's a whole nother topic. Some of their prophecies were short-term, some later-term, and many of them were last days prophecies concerning the days that we now live. Well, there are three main topics for the great prophecies of the Bible. Number one, the prophecies of the blessing for obedience for the nation of Israel and the curses upon the Israeli people for disobedience. Purpose number two for prophecies were concerning the coming of Messiah, how that they would know him, recognize him. Many, many details about Jesus were given in the Old Testament. Those that were biblically wise, when they met Jesus, they knew who to look for, what to look for. So reason number one to confirm the message of, to authenticate the messages of God's servants, concerning the blessings and cursings upon Israel. Number two, the coming of Messiah. Number three, the return of Messiah and the rise of his kingdom yet to come. When we hear those words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we think most of that in more of a prayer language, as Jesus put it, into what we would call the Lord's Prayer. But I think there was more to it than just the fact that Jesus' kingdom is coming. He wants us to kind of be leaning in on the prophecy. See, the prophecies are promises, and God always keeps his promises. He doesn't want them to be distant from us. He wants them to be up close and personal. He wanted us to be leaning in on his word. He said he'll bless those whose faith is in him. The prophecies were meant to be warnings for the unbelievers, but comforts for those who've chosen to follow him. In our times, we look mostly to the third set of prophecies, the last days prophecies, because there is screaming evidence that we are living in those exact days, again, to be warnings to the lost and to be comforts to the saved. I'm often asked, how can you be so confident in these prophecies yet unfulfilled? And the answer is so simple, by the thousands of prophecies already fulfilled. And I might add, fulfilled to the letter. I have coined a phrase, the glove of prophecy in the hand of reality. Whether we realize it or not, we are all watching prophecy fulfilled. But if you know not the prophecies, it's just news. And in today's world, the news, who knows what to believe what as truth or propaganda. To know prophecy is the only way to make sense of the world that we're now abiding in. I remember as a 13-year-old kid, I watched the Jews retake their holy city, Jerusalem, June 10th, 1967, on the Walter Cronkite CBS Evening News. My mom told me it had something to do with the end of the world. She hadn't yet studied the words of Jesus in Luke 21:24 about the Jews returning, and so she thought it was like the end of the world. And no, it wasn't the end of the world. It was a major sign that the second coming of Jesus was drawing near. It was one of the great signs. The world all has the same set of facts, but there are two basic and opposing worldviews to fit the facts into. One, the secular worldview. Stuff happens, man, by time and chance. It takes faith to believe that position. But number two, and the one I hold to, I think you do too, a biblical worldview, like plan and purpose, like, you know, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth, kind of like Genesis to Revelation. With all the last days prophecy, it's kind of like God wants us to know what's happening. We know how it will all end as we read Revelation 6 through 22, but we know not the when, and we know not exactly how it all fits together. We know where it will end up. And so here we are trying to kind of fit what we're seeing into the biblical prophetic plan. And I'm telling you, hindsight's always clearer than foresight on that. We know Satan is prince of this world and is orchestrating backstage via the big money brokers of the world to set up his totalitarian new world order and a world government under his Antichrist. We know that. So what do we expect to be unfolding in the news? I would see nationalism falling to globalism. Isn't that exactly what the past election was all about? No surprise. Make America Great Again does not fit into the scenario of the Antichrist. Should we not expect George Soros's of the world to be heavily investing into borderless nations, which in reality are no nations at all? When you have the constant UN votes of 184-1, and you are the devil, don't you want to take down that last one? America can no longer be great if the new world order is going to come into power. So I see Satan's agenda to weaken the nations, to divide the nations, to deceive the nations, fill them with fears of global warming, now called climate change. Man must fix man's pollution problem via the Paris Climate Accord or the New Green Deal here in America. I don't see Al Gore or AOC as the savior of planet Earth. I see Jesus cleaning up the mess when he returns to set up his kingdom. It's interesting, the same people funding the open borders are the same people paying the politicians, paying the scientists, and paying the media to prompt that agenda. Then they label people like you and I as science deniers. All the while, they are the ones who, by faith, believe their great-great-great-granddaddy was a monkey. While they press this economy-killing agenda, they know that China will absolutely pay no attention whatsoever to their rhetoric. China's going to do what China's going to do. It's not a plan to fix the world, but a plan to control the world. So why even have the UN? Well, you got to have the UN if you're the devil heading towards a new world system. You know, most people have no clue what these unelected officials backstage put into their save the planet from the people agendas. You know, the devil's in the details. Years ago, they wrapped the Agenda 21 into this pretty words of sustainable growth. They've changed the name of Agenda 21 to Agenda 2030. Sustainable growth. Who could be against that? But in the small print was the unfolding of a global depopulation movement, taking down the world's population from 7.3 billion to 500 million. So God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So who would say the exact opposite? Do you smell the devil in the details? We read from Revelation 6 through 19 that about 3/4 of the world's population will be dying, which would almost accomplish their goal. How can you reduce the world's population so drastically? Oh, that would require, number one, pushing the abortion agenda worldwide, which Joe Biden did exactly that this past week, sending millions of our U.S. tax dollars to pay for global abortions. How about that? No surprise, his puppet masters own him. They tell him what to do. And I believe their father is the devil. Number two, euthanasia. Get rid of the costly aging part of our population. How about a biological warfare? No one even knows the agenda. No one even knows really what's going on. Introduce a virus deadly to the ages, but benign to the young and productive. That will take care of the top and the bottom of the population problem. But then we have the vast numbers in the middle. We must stop for a moment and do some homework here. Have you studied out about Bill Gates? Where does he come from? Do you know his family tree? Did you know he is a third generation eugenicist? Did you know that his father was a co-founder of the Planned Parenthood movement? Did you see his genetics presentation before the CIA in 2005? Did you hear him explain the religious gene? How they could genetically modify that gene so there'll be no more enthusiastic Muslims or evangelicals forcing their religious fundamental views on the world? Have you seen that? Or do you let the mainstream media guide what goes into your head? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Is it not interesting that a software geek is now central in the vaccine world? Have you asked India why Gates is no longer allowed to step into their country? Are you aware of the millions of Indian young women who are now infertile due to Gates-sponsored untested vaccines that were used there? Are you comfortable with the Moderna, which is a wordplay for modify RNA? Did you know it's a spinoff company of Microsoft? Are you okay with this vaccine as their first ever vaccine for a new company? Have you studied the genetics of the RNA modification and its effects on the human genome? Are you comfortable with the traceability ingredient in the Moderna vaccine called luciferase? You got it, as in Lucifer. Or do you choose to trust your medical future to the mainstream Soros-owned Gates-driven narrative? They smile big and say, trust us. Pay no mind to those evil conspiracy theorists. We know from Revelation 6 through 19, 3/4 of the world's population will die. Makes you kind of wonder if the legally unaccountable vaccine world leaders may be a tool in bringing this apocalyptic human tragedy into reality. I just learned this morning from listening to Robert Kennedy Jr.'s presentation that since 1989, the approved childhood vaccines have risen from 7 to 72. You think there might be a reason for that? There's a lot of info drug companies choose not to tell us. Medications must be tested and approved by the CDC and all carry a legal liability for harmful side effects. That's why we see all the liability lawyers on TV. The pharmaceutical greatest cost are at the end when they have to pay out for all the bad side effects, taking away from their initial huge profit. But vaccines are a whole different world. I'm just learning this stuff. I count myself as one trying to stay on top of things. The vaccine is a whole different world. Once a vaccine gets CDC approval, there is an average of $1 billion a year profit with no liability. They are exempt from liability with the vaccines. That's how they make their billions and billions of dollars. Follow the money. So now we've gone from 7 vaccines to 72 approved and pushed vaccines. If you're a parent raising children, you'll see how the mainstream medical world is pushing these vaccines. And I know everybody wants best what's best for the kids. We take that as a basis. We all want what's best for the kids. However, there's a whole bunch of information that I think people should have before they make their decisions. Parents who shy away from many of these vaccines are labeled anti-vaxxers. They are the real danger to societal health. All the while, we've seen autism rates go off the charts. 30 years ago, only 1 in 10,000 children had autism back in the 70s. Now that number is 1 in 34 children or 1 in 22 boys today. Unbelievable. peanut allergies go from 1 in 1,200 in 1986 to 1 in 12 today. Asthma, anaphylaxis, eczema, all off the charts. ADD, ADHD, problems from tics, narcolepsy, SIDS, all exploding. Juvenile diabetes, fibromyalgia, lupus, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, Hashimoto disease, all exploding, all autoimmune diseases. We weren't even aware of most of these things 30 years ago. Where are they coming from? And today they explode. Well, the drug companies are cashing in for sharing treatments for the symptoms. And the symptoms aren't going away. They are permanent. They are making money on the vaccine end of it, and they're making money on the medications that are treating the new diseases that are arising. Major, massive cash cow for the medical world. Create the problem and make money. Treat the problem, make more money. And all of us who ask the questions are called the dangerous ones. And if you remember the rock group Steppenwolf back in my day, I think they were right in 1971 when they said there's a monster on the loose and has our heads into the noose, and he stands there watching. Couple good resources to go deeper with all this. Dr. Judy Mikovits, M-I-K-O-V-I-T-Z, and Robert Kennedy Jr. have great resources, take you deeper in the topic of vaccinations. And there's a lot more people than just them. I can't prove this is what God was prophesying about the vaccines killing people. But if the shoe fits, wear it. Jesus said one of the great signs of his return would be pestilence. And it seems many of the vaccines create more harm than they do good. I find it so interesting how Satan so cleverly frames the narrative. He makes the bad guys look like the good guys and the good guys to look like the bad guys. He is a master deceiver, the father of all lies, a murderer from the beginning. I saw the warped speed vaccines coming this past year. I got uneasy about that. I think that was a political op for Trump to look good as they were trying to destroy him with the COVID epidemic. Vaccines and warp speed do not belong in the same conversation. I got that sick feeling early in the year 2020 that mandatory would soon be part of the conversation. It's the mandatory issue that raises my suspicions the most and directs my prophetic thoughts to go to Revelation chapter 13. Since the Nuremberg trials, the Western world has practice no enforced vaccines or treatments. The Hippocratic oath that doctors take the same position. All that seems to be about to change over the whole COVID thing. COVID certainly has changed our world. I don't believe for a second that the COVID vaccines are the mark of the beast, which sometimes people are asking me about. The mark of the beast will be absolutely mandatory. But I see it as a clear segue. I see it as a huge step to gaining further control of the populace. Those who comply will be called the good guys, and those who resist will be called the evil ones. It seems in the moment that a big part of the resistance is the evangelical church. You know, our bodies are God's temple, and part of the wrestlings of our soul as we face unprecedented times. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But I am not an uninformed vaxxer. I want to see 2-year result of any vaccine, COVID or not. I want to see the success and failure rates. I want to see the side effects. You know, until a year ago, no doctor would disagree with that position. But politics are superseding medicine and science now as the COVID-19 virus has changed seemingly almost everything. I have close friends and family members who've chosen to get the vaccine. I pray they have no harmful effects. I don't believe for a second that they're less than myself. I just am nervous about it. I don't count my position above anyone else. I just want to be careful. My body's God's temple. I need to take care of it. For millions like me who've already had the COVID virus, who already now have the antibody, back earlier in 2020, it was like, well, there's no need for them to be vaccinated, but all that's kind of gone away. Everyone is being recommended to take the vaccines. That makes me really nervous. That voice has been silenced, and we will be forced into compliance, seems to be what's in my face now. Time will surely tell. Hey, another point I just found out about yesterday, Bill Gates is recommending that the world quit eating meat. Isn't that interesting? One of the prophecies in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says, in the latter days, men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, commanding to abstain from meats. That's what Bill Gates is talking about now. I don't know if that's a big deal or not, but I do find it very interesting. Well, one last part for today, as I see prophecy in the news, the new House bill on gender neutrality is an offense against history, an offense against sanity, an offense against the holy God who created both male and female and no other. I'm not advocating being rude or unkind to those who struggle with gender issues. I think we need to love them, give them biblical truth, love them unconditionally, and help them find their way to the feet of Jesus. And I promise you, Jesus will fix the gender issues for them. But I am one not willing to subject the 99 to all the insanity that this bill would leash upon our nation. I don't want men in my granddaughter's restrooms or locker rooms. I don't want confused boys competing in sports with my granddaughters. To me, this is Satan claiming that perversion is normal, and those who hold to traditional, historic, Judeo-Christian moral values have now become the perverts. But isn't that just another of Satan's mocking everything that God calls sacred? God wants to save babies. Satan wants to kill them. God wants to honor the elderly. Satan wants to eliminate them. God set up the nation. Satan needs to take them down. God wants gender celebration. Satan wants gender confusion. God gave people an amazing human immune system. Satan wants to destroy that immune system with vaccine overloads. In my view, whole vaccine issue, the whole COVID issues, it comes to us in a political package, but it's all much simpler than that. It's a battle between God and Satan, between good and evil. 2020 was like no other year. 2021 has only upped the intensity. Evil men and seducers will continue to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Satan is tweaking the technology and the political alignments for his new world order. I would suggest that the World Economic Forum and their coming world financial reset will be just what they say, a huge reset. Nobody really knows what to expect, but I assure you it will please Karl Marx more than it would please Thomas Jefferson. Think about that for a moment. Time will shortly tell on that one. Well, that's all bad news, but you know what? We know all that's going to come because it was promised, but the good news follows. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I can only imagine. The Bible says when we shall see him, we shall be like him. These corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. Can you imagine living in a body that'll never grow old, that'll never grow sick? All tears will be wiped away. We will be reunited with loved ones. I got a grandson in heaven. I can't wait to meet Caleb Michael Herget. Will he be a baby? Will he be a toddler? Will he be a grown man? I don't know. That's not been revealed to me, but I know that we'll be together with them that love the Lord, and we get to meet the Lord Jesus one day, and we'll return with him to planet Earth after the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards ceremony, receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or evil, then the glorious wedding feast of the Lamb, the mother of all parties. Then Jesus chooses to return to planet Earth with his bride to set up his kingdom where he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. The curse that came upon the ground in Genesis chapter 3 will be lifted. The lion will lie down with the lamb. The evil beasts of the field will cease. We'll dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Oh my goodness. My wife's a little unsure about that woods thing. She says, isn't that the Hebrew word Ramada, as in Ramada Inn? I say, no, study harder, sweet girl. Oh, God's got this thing. no generation has seen all these things come to pass like our generation. The Jews are home. Jerusalem is retaken. The nations are aligned. Satan is tweaking his new world order soon. Jesus will come and take us home. And so on that note, aren't you glad to be on the winning team? So, hey, it's good to be with you again back in the podcasting booth. A few more weeks here in Florida. Then we head back north to do a conference in Pennsylvania. The phone is ringing. COVID's easing up. I'm back on the road preaching Jesus. Thanks for helping me. Please subscribe, share it with your friends, leave a comment. Doing the best I can to lift up Jesus and encourage your heart. We win this thing. Bye for now. Jesus loves you. So do I. God bless.